Right, welcome to Sheep Farm, and this is a brief intro into a conversation we had with Jerry Mazinski's co-writer of his book, Sherry Sweeney. I got her name wrong in the intro of the, as you'll hear, and I got a bit of a bollocking. But it was a real interesting conversation with Sherry, weren't it, Chris?
Yeah, lovely. We've wanted to speak to her for a while, haven't we?
Yeah. Very knowledgeable and really forthright as well. You know, she knows her stuff. It was like talking to Alana Freeland. That's what it reminded me of. Mm. So, yeah, we hope you enjoy it. And that's it, really. But. Hi there, and welcome to Sheep Farm. And we've got a special guest in tonight, all the way from the States. And it's Jerry Mazinski's co-author of their book, Sherry Sweeney. Have I got the name right there, Sherry?
Sweeney,
I thought so. Yeah. Do you know, Jerry always says that, and I say it's Sweeney, and he says, no, it's Sweeney. And I went, no, it isn't.
No, yeah. It's Sweeney.
Yeah. And he says, you've got to get apologize. It right, otherwise she'll be really angry with him. he's a bit scared of you, Sherry.
Yeah. He's scared of technology.
I yell at him a lot.
Good. He's certainly scared of technology.
He's very scared of technology.
I yell at him a lot.
Fantastic.
He's getting better at it, though, you know.
And your book, An Amazing Journey into the Psychotic Mind, Breaking the Spell of the Ivory Tower. It was a fantastic read. I've got to say, when I first heard Jerry and I heard your story, going back a few years now, and I'm sure you've heard this before, it really resonated with me and freaked me out at the same time. Because I had my own internal voice type experiences from Lyme disease, which can create intrusive voices, let's just say. Mm-hmm. Probably not as intense as yours, but certainly there were certain voices in there telling you to do stuff and whatnot that you didn't really want. And it's only since I got better that I realized how bad it actually was.
Yeah, that's the same thing. So, Christian, have you had the same kind of intrusive thoughts? Or
no, not really. It was interesting because I literally remember the day, because Don was telling me about this, and he was saying he had these, you know, he basically described how he managed to sit outside and stop the voices from chattering. And he said, you know, but he was saying it like a matter of fact, you know, when you can stop them. And I'm like, I don't really get that, Don. And but he was thinking that everyone had it. And I'm like, no, really don't, didn't really happen to me. And he's put it into, because he had Lyme disease, that maybe it's something to do with the parasites.
Yeah.
Because he said they were like screaming at him.
Yeah. And it's, we noticed, me and my wife have Lyme disease. And we noticed when we got rid of the biological parasites, the metaphysical parasites went quieter, which was interesting. So the detoxification, helped.
So it might have massively. Been a different, could be a different kind, show.
Could be different entities, but there were certainly.
A lot of parallels there.
Yeah, a lot of parallels.
Yeah, it very well could be. So the voices that I heard, They weren't audible voices. They're not the kind of schizophrenics here, but they were internal and thought intrusions. They were very heavy duty thought intrusions. I just couldn't get rid of them. I didn't know how to. At the time, I didn't know how to get rid of them. And this goes back, I don't know, a long, long time ago. And so when I was, I don't know where to start, but I remember sitting in my chair when I was going through my own kind of recovery and trying to figure out what was going on. I remember sitting in my chair, and nothing was going on in my life. No problems, no nothing was going on. Nothing was bothering me. And I watched the thoughts pound into my head. You know, I just observed them. And so I was thinking, okay, so nothing has changed and my world just fell apart. What is going on here? You know, so it was like, if a person can do that, and I don't know if everybody can, I think most people can if they put their mind to it. But so I did that, and it took a long time. And finally, finally it calmed down and finally it went away. But I realized, okay, so these are not my thoughts at all. So when they would come in, and I was like, this was during my therapy, my personal therapy to myself, because I didn't want to go to a psychiatrist. I knew that that was a bad mistake. Yeah, that would be putting me on drugs and, you know, psychotic drugs and stuff like that. Or they, you know, I have no idea how I would have reacted. But yeah, so I think I imagined that, you know, they'd drug me up and throw me away and I'd be done. My life would be over. So I didn't want to do that. So I was working at the time, my background is engineering. So I was working for an engineering firm, and I'm retired now. I've been retired since 2012. So let's see. Well, okay. So I was working at the time, and I had been thinking, you know, what is this, you know, how do I get rid of these things? I don't know how to do this. And then I had thought about it and thought about it. And I spent lots of time in the library looking at books and reading all kinds of literature and trying to figure out what was going on with the brain and learning all about the brain. And it was interesting, but it didn't help me any. And so it was all, because that was all physical material stuff. And so then I came to work one day, just because I had this in my mind so much, the universe just responded to me. And then I walked into work, and my boss called me in the office. He says, you know, we just got a contract to write a computer program for a water district, and would you like to learn how to do computer programming? I said, oh yeah, that sounds interesting. So I went to computer programming class, and that's where I learned that, hey, it clicked. The brain kind of works like a computer. And so I got to thinking, well, I wonder if I could reprogram my own brain.
Yeah.
You know, that was my theory. So then I thought, well, okay, so let me just think about this and how would I do that? Because the brain is so complicated. And I figured, okay, so this is too much. I need to have something really, really simple, something I can remember during an attack. And then I started thinking about all the stuff I had read in the past and all the experiences I had had in the past that proved to me that I was being lied to all the time, and about everything. I mean, about everything. So, you know, so everything was a lie. And so I thought, okay, so now if I just recognize that what I'm hearing is not true, it's just a lie, and I call it out as that. And then I start using that part of my brain to, you know, to say, okay, so that's a lie. And then stick with that and don't use the other part of my brain that was already being used by these intrusive thoughts. Maybe that part of my brain would atrophy and then I wouldn't be able to use it anymore. That was the theory. Well, it worked because, you know, I tried really hard. I worked at it every single day, day and night, day and night, day and night. I never gave up. And so when the voices would come back, the thoughts would come back, and they come back really strong. Mm. But I would just say, okay, so that's a lie. And I didn't always catch it right off the bat. But eventually I got to the point where, okay, I could finally catch it pretty quick. But that took many years to do that. So I was going through that. And finally I caught on and started in with, okay, so that's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. I'm not going for it. You're not going to hook me in. I'm not going to buy into this. I'm not going to do this. And eventually they went away. So now I don't have that anymore. Once in a while, there'll be something that
every now and again. Yeah.
Yeah. Every now and again, something will pop in and I recognize it right off the bat and I can say, well, okay, so that's a lie. And then later on, as time went on and I evolved more and I learned more, I realized the power of love is really, really strong. It's the strongest frequency in the universe, as far as I know. So I started saying, okay, so that's a lie, and I send you love. And they would just be gone. They'd be gone. Yeah. Instantly.
Instantly. Yeah.
So that was, you know, that was the way that I did that. And that's what I teach. But the background is, you know, the experience that I had that got me to that point was pretty bad. I mean, it was pretty awful. You know, so as a kid,
how long was it going on for, Sharon?
Well, from childhood to about 50 years old. About 50 years, yeah. And my life was totally messed up. You know, I tried to have a good family and tried to live a normal life, and that just didn't happen. It just wasn't possible. So, yeah, as a kid, I put this in the book, and the book is the book talks all about my experience, and in brief.
Yeah, I do apologize. I've read it, but it was about 2 years ago.
So okay,
I need to reread it again.
So it talks about my experience, just in brief, to give the reader an idea of what a person goes through sometimes. And then Jerry's got some other patient profiles in there too.
Yeah.
So, you know, so we kept mine as short as, you know, pretty much as other patients. So, but then I threw in my own learning throughout the book, what I had realized, you know, because we've talked a lot, he and I, we've known each other about 30 years, I guess. And I think we had known each other about 10 years before I ever let him know that I knew all about the voices, you know, so that they were, you know, discarnate spirits. They were entities that we can't see. They're beyond our physical visual spectrum. And so, but yeah, as a kid, just for your audience to know, my dad was, this was just at the end of World War II. And so he was really enamored by World War II, the Japanese torture methods and stuff like that. So he wanted to experiment on it. And so he did. And I was his subject. So, you know, this started when I was like 3. And so from 3 to 6, you know, and then from 6 and a half, I went into this juvenile detention center for 6 months as a waiting. It was like a waiting room to go to this orphanage, this Catholic orphanage. So I had, you know, it's just one thing after another that was, you know, actually conditioning me and brainwashing me totally. So everything I was learning was a lie.
Yeah.
So that's what I grew up with. That's what I didn't know the difference. I thought that was just,
it was normal.
It was normal. Yeah, so I thought that was life, and that's how I managed my life. So it's like, oh my gosh, what have I done? But, you know, I couldn't do anything about that except for make a correction from this point forward.
Yeah.
So that's what I did, and it was a real, real struggle. You know, it was a real struggle.
I'll bet.
I have empathy for anybody who's trying to straighten out their life. It's not an easy task. You know, you have to be determined. You have to be, you know, really, really diligent and really want that.
Do you think the entities arrived at you because of the lack of love, like you said, the most powerful thing from your dad?
Yeah. And
you kind of wide open.
Yeah, the thing is that he gave me mixed signals. First, I would be in the lab and go through his torture methods. And he was very clinical about it. He had this clipboard and he had his lab jacket on and the whole bit. He was really role playing. And then when the session was over with, he would put me on his lap and he would doctor me up and fix me up and stuff like that. And then he would rock me to sleep and tell me what a good girl I was. So, you know, then I would get lots and lots of love and I would be comfortable and I would fall asleep. in his lap. So, you know, that's a mixed message for sure. Yeah. The message was, I guess first I have to get tortured and then I'll get loved, right? So that's kind of the way that I grew up. And, you know, and then by the time I got to the orphanage, the nuns were pretty mean to all the girls. There was 500 girls in the school. And so they were, you've read the stories of the Catholic orphanages and how that was. So that was pretty bad. And so I got out when I was 13 and went right back to my dad's house.
You know, it's like, yeah, but okay, I mean, it's not your fault, because every kid wants to love the parents, don't they?
Yeah,
whether they're abusive or not, you know.
Well, that's true. And I loved my dad and I loved my mom. And, you know, they were both, pretty, my mother was pretty, I don't know what to call her, but she was very introverted, I guess. She was very self-centered and she wanted me to be like her, and I wasn't like her, and I wasn't like my dad. I was like me, but I didn't know. I didn't know anything about, you know, me being me or anything like that. I just knew that I didn't want to be her and I didn't want to be him. So, you know, but still I was a little bit of a rebellious kind of child to begin with. So, but I kept a lot of that inside because I couldn't voice my opinion.
You obviously had a lot of strong energy. Otherwise you wouldn't have been able to survive now, would you?
I could have turned out to be a Jeffrey Dahmer for all I know.
Yeah.
You know, I've thought about that and it's like, holy cow, I could have done that, but I didn't, because that wasn't who
I was.
Well,
you must have had some positive energies on your side. I mean,
yeah, I had a lot of help, some spiritual help, and I didn't realize it at the time, but you know, I know that I had a lot of spiritual help. And I mean, I was in lots of situations where I could have been killed, and I didn't. That didn't happen. So, you know, it's like all of a sudden I got saved. You know, I got lifted up and put over here, and I got moved around, and you know, just got out of the way at the lick of time, and you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah.
We've been doing a series on. Well, it's about the Huxleys. It's called Huxley's Brave New World Order series. But the one thing that comes out of this series is that everything that how we live our lives has got an element of brainwashing in it. Yeah. It's one of the overriding factors throughout the whole research we've done. We've recorded about 10 hours so far. And it's quite amazing, even from a micro level, say a family level, up to a town or a city. Everybody, and then a country, and then a continent, everybody's brainwashed to a point of, and you're just talking about popping a Jeffrey Dahmer out or popping someone else out, a psycho who wants to run a massive corporation or what have you. Mm-hmm. It's no wonder we're in this state.
Yeah, for sure. And the whole planet, I mean, I've come to the conclusion that the planet has been invaded by the dark side. And so, but we don't know it a lot. Some of us do, and more of us are becoming aware of it. And so I think that until we all recognize that this is what's happening, we're not going to get out of this mess.
Yeah.
I mean, some of us will survive and we'll be okay, but the rest of the people on the planet won't. Well, you know, they'll have to come and do it again, I guess.
Yeah.
And I keep thinking, geez, if I could just let everybody know that we've been invaded. And I talk about that a lot, saying we have been invaded. You know, we don't know, we don't see it. The government's telling us all about, oh, well, there's going to be this, you know, ET invasion. Well, we've already been invaded.
Yeah, we've already been invaded, yeah.
I'm sure you've seen They Live, Shara.
Yeah.
and that is what it looks like. That's what it feels like. That is what the sort of lunacy that we're living through at this moment, that's absolutely nuts to us three and people listening. The average person, the NPC, the sheep or whatever you want to call it, without sounding derogatory, Christian always has a go at me for calling people sheep, but
we're all sheep.
The people that aren't like us, for some reason, we've been able to tune into this frequency. It doesn't mean to say we're anything special. It just means, for some reason, we didn't ask for this. We haven't asked to be able to be tune into it. For some reason, we can.
Well, right. We didn't. I don't know that we asked for it, but you know,
not maybe, in this life, anyway.
Well, maybe we did, but we don't remember it.
Yeah.
I don't know, but that I'm running into more and more people who are realizing, this is
not right.
what I wanted. This is not what I signed up for. Except that maybe it is what we signed up for because. We probably knew what we were doing when we got here, and then we forgot because it got brainwashed out of us. Mm-hmm. And now we're starting to remember. So
possibly, that's a good example of it.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. And so, you know, we're starting to remember, and that doesn't mean we remember everything. It just means that we're, you know, okay, I get some of this. I hear some of this, and I get some of that. So you know, if you can remember, you know. Who you are, that's the first step. And then know that you're an immortal being, so there's no reason to fear anything, right? And fear is the frequency that everybody uses to manipulate you. So there's no reason to fear anything, not even death. I mean, there's the way that the world is going right now, and kind of this is off top, well, maybe not, but the way the world is going right now, I mean, there's worse things than dying. I mean, I wouldn't want to be going along with the crazy rules that they're setting up for everybody. No way.
No, I think that's how the pipe, isn't there?
It's how the deaf cult run the show, though, isn't it? Just keeping everyone terrified.
Yeah, that's right. And so when I look at people being terrified, I'm like, oh gosh, I wish I could just reach out to them and send them some frequencies or send them some, you know, vibes or something so they would not be afraid.
The sad thing is they can't, they're not tuned into that frequency. And it'll just bounce straight back off them. But the parasitic entities whatever we want to call them, this dark side, whatever it is all around us. I mean, your story sounds very similar to mine, apart from the length of time that you were struggling with that, and obviously your background. I didn't go through what you've gone through, but what you said resonated with me by acknowledging the entities or whatever you want to call it, the voice. They don't like that. They don't like the light. They don't like to be spoken to and acknowledged.
Mm-mm. No, they don't. The their greatest fear is to be exposed.
Yeah.
You know, and so I learned that they don't like being exposed, and they will, you know, unless you expose them a lot, just, you know, without fear, a lot of people will start to expose them, and then they sense that there's a little bit of fear in there for doing that, and then they'll come and get you. They'll get even with you.
Can I ask you something, Shari?
Sure.
You know, like in, you know, you got Hollywood films, The Exorcist, and I was thinking this the other day. You've got The Exorcist, but when I knew this interview was coming up, you've got The Exorcist and all these films about possession, and what I think Hollywood have done there is they've gone for the extreme, like, you know, head spinning round, throwing up mushy peas and all that, like The Exorcist and other films we've seen. But the actual reality is a lot more subtle. So by putting out that extreme version of it, if anyone said they think that could be them, you'd be ridiculed because we've seen the extreme version. We've seen the Hollywood version. So the actual reality version is a lot quieter and a lot more subtle than can happen to you or happen to Dom or to numerous people Jerry spoke about. So it's so subtle, and extreme Hollywood version doesn't really exist. It's just ignored and it's gone.
Yeah,
it's
probably not. I mean, I would imagine it probably doesn't exist, but that's enough to scare a lot of people. And if they don't have that kind of thing happening to them, maybe they don't think that they're really being attacked, but that's not true. That's a lie.
Sorry, you explained that better than I did what I was trying to say. So if you get in it, you think, no, no, it won't be that, because if I was getting attacked, my head would be spinning around, I'd be throwing up mushy peas and levitating. But the reality is it's much more subtle. Do this, do that, you know, all negative, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they will. And they'll try it. They're masters at skewing perception, changing perception, so that what you're looking at is not what's really there. It's not the way that it is. They'll manipulate it, and
I always wondered why the Hollywood version existed, is what I'm trying to say. And I once read somewhere that when The Exorcist came out, the Catholic Church loved it, but they would love it because it's still selling the Catholic Church, isn't it?
Sure.
You know, we can solve it with this Catholic priest coming up and knocking that demon out of that young girl or whatever. So they're still selling the Catholic Church, aren't they? Sorry.
Yeah, well, there are exorcists and they do work. But the thing is, if the person, once they're clean, they have to walk a they have to change their path that they're walking, or they'll just come back. And they'll come back manyfold. You know, they'll really make your life totally miserable. So if a person wants to get rid of them for quick, they can do that with an exorcist and that'll work, but they have to change their ways. They can't keep, going to these horror movies or reading horror books or watching horror TV or, you know, paying attention to the news or whatever it is. Like, they need to have some sort of a spiritual path. And, they have to do that or they will get attacked again.
So before we move on, I mean, we'll carry on these conversations, but I want to talk about the book, really, because although we talk to Jerry a lot, we don't really discuss the book. Because obviously we know Jerry likes to talk and we love it, listening to him. But we want to get into the book. There's some people in there that before you guys sort of came along, going back a couple of hundred years even, they were talking about this type of activity, this parasitical activity. Mm-hmm. And they were sort of ridiculed at that point as well, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. Emanuel Swedenborg was one of them. The only reason that he wasn't totally ridiculed was because his background before he just shut down and decided to do this was he was a brilliant man. He was an engineer, and he was an ambassador to the different countries and stuff like that, and so he was I think he was alive around 300 years ago,
right?
Yeah. So he was very, very important to a lot of people. And he was a professor, and he just had this whole long list of accomplishments that he had done. Well, then all of a sudden he had this mystic experience, and he decided, okay, I'm going to investigate this and see what it's all about from a scientific mind. So he did that, and he ended up writing down all of his notes and all of his experiences, and he kept good track of where he went and what he did and what he saw. And so now people are studying all of his writings. So, he talks about all kinds of things, but one of the things that he talks about is these spirits that attack you. And there are good spirits and bad spirits. And the thoughts, he says that none of our thoughts are our own. We get the positive and the negative thoughts, and then we choose which one we want to take. That makes sense to me.
Yep.
Because our thoughts, we're connected to consciousness, right? So the whole universe is consciousness.
Well, we're transceivers and receivers, aren't we? So it makes sense that we...
Right. Our brains are transceivers and receivers. And then... according to what we have in our hearts and in our mind, or what our training is, then we'll decide which way to go. So the That's a Lie program has. Have you ever seen the program? It's got the picture of the back of a guy, and then he's got the the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other shoulder.
That's exactly what I was going to say, Sherry. It just gives you that image of a demon and an angel on one shoulder and the other.
So,
you decide which direction to go yourself.
Right. And it says something like, if you think that your thoughts are your own, think again, or something like that.
Yeah.
I suppose in this messed up world, the angel would be telling you, you'd be thinking to take advice from the angel, when in reality, the inversion would be that both of them are probably the voices.
In some skeptical scenarios, that might be the case because they're tricksters. They really are tricksters. But for the That's a Lie program, just the write-up of it, that was the perfect.
I just opened your book, actually, and it's got Swedenborg in it. And he says, when spirits begin to speak with man, he must be aware lest he believe them in anything. For they say almost anything. Things are fabricated by them, and they lie. For if they were permitted to relate what heaven is and how things are in the heavens, they would tell so many lies, and indeed with a solemn affirmation, that man would be astonished.
Absolutely.
So just saying, the liars, basically, constant.
Yeah, they're liars. That's all. That's what they are. Is they are liars. They're born liars. They that's how they thrive, because they feed off of your negative energy.
Do you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me. Do you know video games where you're controlling someone to do? There's a game called Grand Theft Auto where it's quite a violent game. I've never played it myself, but. Okay. You go and steal a car, but you've got a character, and you get him to go steal a car or hit someone on the head with a brick or whatever. And it reminds me of that type of process where you've got a control, and that's what these entities are doing, just remote controlling people.
Oh, sure. That is what they're doing. And some people just, they don't know how to get out of it. You know, it scares them half to death, and they just don't know what to do about it. So they believe the psychiatrists, who say, well, you know, you have a brain imbalance, right? Chemical brain imbalance, which is the biggest lie of all. And, so they don't think that there's anything that they can do about that situation, which is another big lie. They can. Anyway, so back to the book, because the book talks about what you can do, too. So, but the other character in this book is... what's his name? Van Dusen.
Van Dusen, yeah.
Yeah, and he talks about, he was a psychiatrist who, Jerry met him before he passed on.
Right.
That was good, and they worked together for a while, and he, you know, they really got to know each other really well. So Van Dusen was, he wrote a book. And one of the chapters in the book was about the presence of other worlds in insanity or in madness, I think it was. So he talked about that he had read Swedenborg's work. And then as he was working with his patients, he decided he wanted to become friends with the entities. He wanted to understand them. Well, that didn't work. Because it never does, but he didn't know that, but he had a different approach. So it was an interesting approach, and what came out of it was he realized that, okay, I can't make friends with these people, these entities, but I do recognize that that's what they are. They are parasites, and they act like, some of them are like they're intentionally destructive, like a drunken bum in a bar or something like that. And then he realized also that there's another, there's a hierarchy in that realm. And then there's also what he called the higher power, I think he called it. And he talks about that. And I took that to be like, okay, that's the higher power of these dark side entities. He didn't take it that way. Jerry and I talked about it. And, you know, Jerry and I kind of have a different point of view of that. So we put both point of views in the book. And to me, because I have the experience, that higher power one sounded like and felt like the boss, one of the bosses of the lower entities.
It's like a telemarketing agency.
Yeah, that's really, really accurate. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, so is that where telemarketing agencies came from, Fatty? Is it like
might be, yeah, the ultimate parasite?
Can imagine there's one in, yeah, like in whatever realm they're in, and it literally mirrors the one in some office.
Yeah, yeah, you can imagine it, can't you? Yeah. A massive centre. Right, well, ring Sherry up tomorrow.
With all their arms sticking out the top of their head.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Well, I encountered one of those, what I called a captain one time.
Right, right.
And I think I wrote about this in the book too. It was, we did a Reiki session and we were working on the prisons because the prisons are the
epicenter.
Epicenter, thank you. Thank you. The epicenter of the darkness of it and the evil part and the whole chaos thing. And so, and that doesn't mean that there's constant brawling, although that does happen, but it's not constant. But there's negative emotions everywhere. I mean, everywhere. Yeah. So these dark side entities have a buffet every day, every night. So we wanted to, there was a group of us, like five of us, and we wanted to do an experiment and see if Reiki would help lessen the frequency there, change the frequency. So we did that, and sure enough, we had people inside the prisons that we were writing to that, we did screening and stuff like that to make sure that these were honest as could be people. And so we told them, okay, we're going to do this experiment and we're going to pick your prison on such and such a day. So we want you to not do anything but observe and report back to us what you see. So every one of them did this. And so we were making some difference. So we had like five prisons and we thought, okay, so we'll do one here and then one here. We'll do this. We'll just go around in a circle over and over again until something changes. And it was starting to work. We were starting to have some successes. I mean, the fights were lessening down. The guards were getting more polite. You know, it was just things like that was happening and nobody could figure out why. And we knew why, you know, so, excuse me. So anyway, this one night we were gathered. These are people that were scattered all around the world. So we connected on our computer and I had the candles lit in my living room and the lights were down. So then I had this nice ambiance going on. And so we did this Reiki session. And then all of a sudden, there was this gray like smoke thing that was going. It was kind of going around in my kitchen, and I knew I didn't have a fire. I didn't have anything going, and I thought, okay, so what is this? And I kind of got a little nervous, and I kind of got a little scared because I was a little freaked out. Like, okay, what in the world is this? And so I was sitting on the floor, and I backed up to the couch. And I was sitting there like, okay, what do I do? You know, I mean, I don't know what to do. So I couldn't get up and run because, you know, I didn't know how, it was nighttime. And so anyway, so here comes this thing and it's going around in a kind of a tornado type of motion, kind of slow like this. And it was dark, 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 darker than the darkness of the room. But it was like smoke, and it just started coming toward me. I thought, oh, no, what do I do? What do I do? You know, it's like, holy cow, you know, so what is this, right? And then the computer went off, the phone went off, and the candles were still lit, But there was like no electricity in the apartment. So I was getting pretty well freaked out. And I'm like, okay, so, oh, wait a minute. I know what this is. I mean, I know what this is, right? So I'm like, okay, so that's a lie. You're not in charge. I'm in charge. I'm the powerful one. You're not, you know, blah, blah, blah. And the mental thought that came rushing through, came booming through my head was like, those prisons are mine. Wow. And I thought, oh.
A warning.
I am warning. Stepping on your turf.
Yeah.
And they didn't
imagine
like
the negative energy in a prison.
Well, yeah. I was thinking when you were on about that, Chase, even the guards are part of it, aren't they? Probably yes. As much a part of it as the prisoners. For some reason, yeah. They've been attracted to that job. I mean, I wouldn't dream of doing that job, but I just can't imagine. Yeah. But,
no, I wouldn't either. I wouldn't either at all.
But they're as attracted to that place as the prisoners are, I suppose, in a way, mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. some weird reason.
100%.
Yeah, and I don't think that their reasons are all altruistic. I really don't.
No,
you
know, no.
Probably started out that way.
Yeah,
but they probably do, and then they get involved with everybody else who's there, who's already been infected and
attached. Yeah,
yeah, they're already been attached, and so you know they don't. They don't fight it off. They don't resist.
It's like having a. I mean, I work as a chef. It's like having an office job or a job in a restaurant, for instance. It only takes one. If it's a boss, especially, you know, and they say shit rolls downhill if you like. But if you've got one negative entity there, they can totally, you know, it didn't even have to be. It can be anybody. It only takes one negative entity in a room to just totally fill that room and destroy any positivity that's in it. And it works a lot quicker than positivity does as well, I've noticed.
Yeah, you have to be active in your positivity.
Yeah.
I mean, in a situation like that, you really have to be active, and not everybody can do that.
Especially if that negativity is passive aggressive. So there's a smile on the face while they're slowly garrotting you from behind.
Yeah, that's right. And you don't catch on that, okay, so that's what's happening, and then you're in it. Mm. And then you're like, okay, now what do I do? I mean, how do I turn this around? How do I, you know, and good luck doing that. I mean, you know, I've been able to do it a couple of times, but, you know, I mean, I did that when I was at work and, you know, people would like, you know, kind of go, oh, wow. You know, so then I did this class of showing people, okay, so here's how you change your energy if you're feeling kind of funky or you're feeling like you're getting upset or, you know, you're getting angry for no reason. You know, you can stand up and you can just put your hands down like that, and that'll actually change the energy around your body. And so I put on a class for that and during lunchtime, and everybody was like, oh, that's so good. You know, let's go do this. So then everybody started doing that, and it made a big difference. But that was at work where I had a captive audience. I mean, I was one of the managers, so I kind of commanded them.
did you get any? Because generally, people who are trying to help people, and you probably find this, generally get attacked a lot more. Not necessarily physically, but certainly emotionally or mentally. Did you get that at work when you were trying to do things like that?
Well, no, because I was one of the managers, but right. because the effects were good and the people who were working there were good people, you know, they were good people to start with.
Yeah.
Right.
They weren't, you know, they weren't like really nasty people that I was trying to turn around. That wasn't going.
But that explains what I was saying there, Sherry. If you were a different person, they probably wouldn't have been because you were managing them. If you'd have been that negative force.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I know that. And, you know, I mean, I was with a woman at a company who I was a manager there, too. And then they put her in as a manager, kind of a supervisor position, as a trial position. And she let it go to her head. And I watched that.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And I called her aside after a couple of days, you know, because I was getting complaints. And so I called her aside one day and I said, you know what? you need to get rid of this ego part of you that is making you feel the way that you feel about having to, about being able to tell these people how to do stuff or what to do, because your job is not to tell them how to do things. They know how to do that. They know how to do their job. You just tell them what needs to be done and when it needs to be done. That's all you need to do.
Job's to nurture them, not punish them. I've witnessed it. I've witnessed it happen instantly. As soon as someone gets a promotion, doom.
Is there anything in the book, or not in the book, that you thought of afterwards you could put in, or is that for book two?
Actually, Jerry's been telling me that I should write something about the love frequency that I use to absolutely get rid of the voices, because it works like such a charm. And the first time I told him about that, he's like, I can't love these things. They're awful. And I said, yeah, I know they are, but that's what works.
Jerry wants to take them on with a shotgun.
Yeah, he really does. And so, and I get that. But now he's kind of understanding, because a lot of other people have said that. Yeah. So a lot of other people have, you know, because he doesn't want to listen to me. He only wants to
shout at him.
Once I get a confirmation from other people, then he's like, "Oh yeah, that's probably a good idea."
isn't it strange though that without any violence or aggression or anger, I know when what helped me was, like I say, acknowledge him, just turning off and listening to the sound and acknowledging that it was there and it wasn't part of me. That was enough for him to turn off and leave, and over time I built that strength up. And they disappeared forever. And that was where you're basically building a playground where they can't play.
You're not providing them any food.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good way of saying it. Yeah.
They have a choice to starve or leave.
Yeah.
So they don't want to starve, so they leave.
Is there a particular type of person that they pick on, or is it have you noticed anything like that? Is there a particular pattern of the type of people that they attack? I know it's obviously people that can tune into and take over, but they must be knocking on most people's door.
Yeah, I think they are. And so it's a matter of...
It's just like a call center, isn't it? It's a numbers game. It's definitely not a chemical imbalance anyway.
No, it's not a chemical imbalance, but what it is if you're open to not loving yourself, that's one thing. If you're open to guilt, if you're open to fear, if you're open to, doing wrong things and knowing about it, that's a whole different thing.
I should mention guilt, because that's what mine played on. I've got a guilt complex. That goes back to his dad, doesn't it, Chris? That guilt complex. But that is what they played on. You know, you're going to let your family down, or you're going to let someone down. Or that was one type of thing that it was about, which is quite interesting you picked up on that one, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the thing is, a lot of people feel guilt in different ways. And what they'll do is they can like read your memory. Or they can feel the frequency of your memory, or they understand, they know your memory somehow.
Yeah.
And what they'll do is they'll keep pulling bits out on something that you did a long time ago and you don't remember it, and they'll just throw it right
minor
there.
Details that feel
they'll throw every single detail at you until it just drives you crazy.
Do you think that this influx of anxiety illnesses that have been created? Because to me, it's very similar, isn't it? Anxiety is very similar to what these voices create.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is. It is an anxiety. And so if you're anxious about something and you feel anxiety, that's one thing. If you're unsettled about something, or you're not sure about something, that's another thing. All of it is the negative frequency. The negative frequency, that's what they're after. They're not after the actual feeling itself.
Yeah, or the information.
They're after the frequency. They don't care about the information. They couldn't care less about you.
Yeah.
they really don't care about you. Yeah. They don't care about me. They don't care about anybody. They care about the frequency that is their food.
And that's why when you see these leaders like Biden or Trump, or in our place, the Johnson and people like that, they look like they've been possessed. These people, Trudeau, people like that, look like they've been, look like the guy from Star Wars. What's he called? The guy that was leading the dark side, Chris.
The Emperor, the Sith Lord.
You're talking about
the Emperor. Not Darth Vader, the Emperor.
Sith
Lord, yeah.
He's all deteriorated.
They look like they've aged instantly as soon as they take office.
I watched the movie a long time ago when it first came out, but I don't remember the details of it. But yeah, I remember the Darth Vader part. And
he's basically saying they deteriorate, they get into office. Obama did it over where you guys, they get into office, and then all of a sudden they go gray, they get bags under their eyes, they just start to deteriorate very quickly.
That's right. Yeah. Isn't that something? I mean, we watched that. Yeah. We watched that, Obama. We watched that with
Biden.
With Biden too, but we watched it with Obama for one thing. He got old. All the presidents get old because of the, you know, we used to think, well, it's because of all the pressure they're under. That's not true. It's the negative energy that they just keep, you know, getting, it gets siphoned off of them all the time.
Me and Chris talk about it a lot. Something I've thought about is, there's a kids TV film called it's a Pixar, is it Pixar, Chris? Pixar film, or anyway, it's a Monsters Inc. Monsters Inc. was quite a famous kids cartoon where the monsters went into kids' bedrooms from another dimension, scared them, and when the kids screamed, they put their scream into a box, that fear, and took it back to their dimension and used that as power to run their world.
Wow. That's pretty accurate.
Yeah, I know.
That's pretty accurate.
It stands hairs on my hands, and it was a big film in its day. You're talking early 2000s when that was made.
They made a sequel.
And that's for children?
That's Monsters, for children.
Monsters, Inc. Yes. Sherry, yeah. And the logo for it is a triangle with an eye in the middle.
Yeah.
I see. Okay. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it gets even more cryptic. But yeah, so that's for children. Sherry, that's planting that seed in their head. A friendly monster is going to come and scare you and drain you of energy.
That's pretty amazing. Yeah,
pretty sick.
It is a bit sick, isn't it? When you think about it now, you look back and you think, "Wow, I can't believe I took my kids to watch that." And ironically, one of the voices in the film was Greta Thunberg's granddad.
Really?
Yeah, he worked for Disney. How mad is that? Anyway.
Oh, my goodness. Isn't that something? Yeah,
it's a big circle, isn't it, of these possessions.
Van Dusen said, just opening your book again, Sherry, the most fundamental aspect of the voices is their attempt to destroy. They can cause anxiety or pain. They speak in man's own native tongue. They seek to destroy conscious and seem to be against every higher value.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, they interfere with the reading of religious practices. They suggest acts against the patient's conscience. Mm. And if refused, they threaten.
Me, my wife and kids, we used to go on cruises. And I used to remember, we booked a cruise and first feeling, because it's not like a voice like you said, it's more of a feeling that comes over you that turns into an action or voice. Your kid's going to crawl over edge at ship. So I had an anxiety all the way up to going on there. And that was just one of them. There could have been 50 or 100 of these.
There is a positive level of that anxiety fire, because that is a fact. But when it's ruining your day, then it's not.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
That's the difference, isn't it?
Yeah. And you're going back over 10 years ago with that. But these are the types of things, is what I'm trying to say. It's not necessarily you're going to turn into Jeffrey Dahmer, like we were talking about earlier.
Right.
It's the fact that they're causing you anxiety. And every time they cause you anxiety, you become weaker.
That's a very true statement, and that's what they want. They want you to become weaker. They want you to be more susceptible to their suggestions, and, you know, so they can really rake you over. There's a good book on Jerry's website called Operators and Things.
Right.
It's written by a woman who is suffering from schizophrenia, and she writes down the whole experience that she went through. And it was way different than anything else that anybody else had gone through. But yeah, so these operators called us things because we're things to them, and they're the operators. So that's the premise of that book. And so she, you know, it's they can control these things. They do it by fishing. It's like they put a hook out, they reel it in, they try this and try that and see if they can hook you. And if they can hook you, then they got you. Mm. So, yeah, so that's an interesting take on that. And, you know, so that kind of applies to everybody. That's how they think. You know, they think that, okay, we're just things. We're not important. Well, all we are is food.
Yeah.
We're not, we don't have any, you know, we don't have any importance to them at all. All we are is food. So when you listen to somebody like Klaus Schwab and Yuval Harari, they think that we're just machines and we have no soul. That whole idea is fantasy.
Do you mean Bill Gates doesn't love us?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've listened to Yuval Harari.
I had a dream about him last night. Harari.
Look at you, Chris. Look at you.
I don't really know that much about him. But
you weren't in the shower, were you?
What was your
weird dream about him? Yeah, and it's only because my son was reading one of his books, right? And then I saw him on something. My son was reading one of his early books, and it's about the evolution of man. And I was saying to my son, "You want to be careful of that guy because he's World Economic Forum
parasite
dodger." But when he was describing the book, it didn't really sound like any of that. But then I was thinking, did he write that initial book or initial books to get people in and then deliver the actual...
They're the hooks, aren't they?
The hooks. Yeah, because I think he's talking about tribes and stuff, you know, the evolution of man and all that lot. So I don't think it was particularly that...
He's not really telling you anything, though, Chris, is he? He's not really telling you anything new.
No, yeah. but then when you get to his later stuff... And he's dragging you into the World Economic Forum stuff. Mm. That was the hook, like you said. That first book he did was even made into a comic book fight. So it was aimed at everybody. I mean,
if anybody sums up a parasitical attachment, Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum, everything about that says that's from another world. From another entity.
From what Sherry's been saying there, right, what it pops in my head as a thing is, I know this sounds probably quite obvious, but when we say it's a spiritual war, these entities, you know, the good ones and the bad ones, firing all this information at us, are they watching us like chess pieces? And that how we react, like you said, we're the amplifier of their suggestion. How we react is how the world, what happens to the world itself, you know, whether it turns negative or positive. And the spiritual battle is these entities that we can't see telling us and suggesting what we should do, but it is up to us what happens fundamentally, if you know what I mean.
Right.
However, explained that very wrong. Sorry.
Yeah, we are immortal beings, so that means we are spirit too. So we have spirit, and it's either, it's what we do with our spirit that matters.
And we have the choice. We have the freedom of choice, which is the fundamental thing of human beings, isn't it? So yeah, we do have the choice. But they're allowed to suggest what we should do.
That's
what I'm trying to say. Sorry, I don't explain things very well. Sometimes.
Well, it's the ultimate.
Yeah,
it's the ultimate how the system works. If you were going to invent a satanic abuser system, this is the ultimate abuser, isn't it?
Yeah. So planet Earth or plain Earth, the sphere of Earth, whatever you call it, I don't really care, is not an easy place to live. It's a beautiful place. It's got some grand potential, and we can create whatever we want, but you know we're being prevented from remembering that, so we don't even know that we can do that.
But also, like Don was saying about video games. if you choose to play a video game, and maybe we choose to come here, you don't always want to choose the easy one, do you? You need a challenge.
You need a challenge. That's true. You know, and what a challenge did we pick, right?
Otherwise, you don't learn anything, do you?
That's right. That's right. So, I mean, I'm thinking that, okay, so if I picked a challenge, if I was going to pick a challenge, this would be quite the challenge to pick. I mean, I don't remember doing it on purpose, but maybe I did, and I just don't remember it. I have no idea.
Maybe it was a chosen for us.
I don't think it was chosen for us, because that doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound like
freedom.
We have our free will.
Human away. Yeah.
So I mean, if we have a God-given right or God-given gift of free will, then why would we allow that to be chosen for us? I just don't think that doesn't feel right to me.
No, it goes with what we call them voices, but what the entities are trying to do to us. That's why it doesn't feel right. And maybe they're just trying to trap us here. Our spirit or soul or essence or whatever we want to call it. Mm-hmm. Maybe these voices are trying to, like, whatever Klaus Schwab is, his essence is trapped here.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, I really, when I look at his ideas, they're like pie in the sky to me. I mean, I've got this engineering background, and I kind of know how things work. It doesn't mean I know everything, but I know a little bit about how things work. So, you know, I mean, and I'm thinking, I know how buildings are built. I know how structures are built. I know how streets and underground water pipes and all of that. I know how all that stuff works. I know how infrastructure works. And the way that they're doing it, they're not planning ahead. They're not giving anybody a chance to evolve into something else. Mm. And, you know, they're just going to pull the plug and then change it and then wonder why it doesn't work.
Designed to fail.
It's designed to fail. Yeah, that's right. So,
well, that's because they're psychos and they can't actually see how a human would react properly. Maybe.
I don't know. But we didn't put that in our book. But still, I mean, that's the way that things are heading if we continue to.
It's an interesting parallel, though, that Sherry, that with your engineering mind, you see things a little bit differently. Because me and Dom have talked about this. He's got a bit of a business mind. I'm a bit arty-farty. Yeah. So you have these different versions of, you know, what you're...
But it certainly gets you to the same place, though.
Yeah,
because we've got three people here who think, I look at things from a commercial point of view, not necessarily making money, but how you'd run a business type of thing. Would you run it that way, like
an engineering
these people running this?
Is definitely a different kind of way.
You wouldn't run it that way. You wouldn't run it that way.
It'd just destroy everything.
But like you were saying, Sherry, from an engineering point of view, is infrastructure, get it all ready, progression and all that lot. Where
there's no planning. There's no planning.
No planning. Yeah, that's it.
There's no planning at all. I mean, they're just, okay, so we're just going to do this now. We're not going to plan. And if we did plan, I don't know. I don't see any evidence of any planning going on.
One I always think of is when Schwab and the Pfizer guy, when that video you showed me, Fire, where they're talking and he's like, yeah, what we needed to do, what we should have done, we should have pushed harder with the, basically the propaganda and the, you know, making people feel bad. And you're thinking that is totally where it went wrong, because you went too far with that, you know.
They didn't have the human element
involved there, did they? They didn't.
No.
It was just
because they don't. I guess they don't think of us as human. I guess they, you know, they don't think of.
Or they
don't,
can't think like humans because.
I don't know. I mean, I think that they don't consider the spiritual aspect of us.
The spirit of a human being,
Or maybe we, as in we few 3-5% in the world, aren't actually human. Maybe we're something else, and that's why we're the odd ones out.
Oh.
Yeah. Possibly. I'm not saying that's...
I hadn't thought about that.
Where Dom disappears.
No, but you understand where I'm coming from, don't you? Where maybe there's different... Where so the people caught in the middle, the masses, if you like, in the headlights, and you've got the parasite class. So maybe all three of us are different entities. three groups.
That's a possibility. I mean, I'm open to thinking
about
it.
Yeah, yeah. I'd say maybe. I'm not saying that we are, just more.
No, I get that. I understand that. And I'm open to thinking about that for sure. Mm.
Yeah.
Because just because we're in this same biological suit doesn't necessarily mean to say our essence is from the same places.
Yeah.
And our very essence is trying to help people. So maybe we're from a totally different place
that's a good possibility. I mean, there's a lot of us, but it's still a small percentage of us on the planet.
Oh yeah. Yeah. 3 to 5%, I reckon. But that's rough gauges. If not just about the people who haven't been jabbed, it's people. If you look at people, you talk to them, how many people have really gone down and accepted that anything is possible? It's very few people. I mean, I'm fortunate to know Chris and a couple of other people close to me that we've spoke for a long time. Obviously, me and Chris are brothers, but it's very rare you meet people like yourself or people like yourself out in the streets, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, my son is one of them.
Fantastic.
I have a friend who is another one. Mm. And let me think. Jerry is another one, and I have another. Well, I have a couple of friends. They're not friends; they're just acquaintances. But yeah, so I mean, but close friends, family. That's what I have.
Still a handful, though, isn't it?
It's a very small amount in comparison to the people we've known in his lives.
Now, my neighbor, they don't. You know, they're not open to that kind of possibility.
My neighbors don't talk to me.
Okay, well, my neighbors talk to me, and they're very nice. They're lovely people, but they don't think like on the same level that we're thinking here.
No.
So I mean, because they're I don't know how to explain them, but they're nice people. They're generous people, and you know, stuff like that, but. I don't know.
We know what you mean, Sarah. We know what you mean.
But it is difficult because they are all genuine people. My neighbours are all lovely people. There's nothing wrong with them. Salt of the earth people. This isn't, I suppose, anybody listening or us trying to think we're anything better than anybody else, because that's certainly not what it is.
Right.
Just different. Not necessarily better. In fact, in some ways, it's a poison chalice carrying this around with us. being able to see things that, you know, you can, and what have you. And other people are just oblivious to it. Sometimes you think, I do think that sometimes, would I be better off just being oblivious?
It would be easier.
You can't turn this thing off now, can you?
It would be easier if you didn't think like we think. You might live a little bit less longer.
Yeah.
But
You might not live as long, but you probably wouldn't learn anything, that's for sure.
Yeah,
this is one thing I've realised and thought about over recent years, especially through the last 3 years of nonsense, is I was already down the rabbit hole, if you like to say that, but I've learned a lot over the last 3 years. I feel like I have, and I feel like I'm constantly and even more open to learning more. And I do speak to some people, I just think if you've experienced nothing. It's like the last 2 or 3 years has been nothing. It's just been a vacuum where nothing happened.
I learned an awful lot in these last 3 years too, and
exactly.
I thought I already knew a lot, but I didn't. You know, I really realized
about myself, about my thought processes, about how things work, even about how me and this knobhead get along. You know what I mean? A lot of different stuff. But you know what I mean? It's built me up. I feel like it's armored me a little bit.
There's been some kind of download, and this probably comes from the opposite side of the voices, the parasitical voices. Mm-hmm. This is the angel that you were talking about earlier. For some reason, we've been able to soak up this information and it not overload us.
Yeah, I think so too. And I know that when I'm looking at the news in the morning, more and more, I'm not interested. I don't like the gossip.
Sherry, I said that to him, Dom, just before we came on here. I said, I look at news now. I used to look at it objectively and it was interesting, at least. And there was something that would grab me, but now it just looks like nonsense. It might as well be written in another language. It's just gobbledygook.
Yeah, a lot of it is repeat stuff. I'm looking for new stuff. You know, I'm looking for something that is like, oh, okay, so that other people need to know. I need to send that around, you know, to wake up everybody. And like, okay, so like the new information that now they want to put the mRNA shots into, you know, the cows and the chickens and stuff.
Well, I don't know
if they're doing that over there where you are, but that's what they want to do here.
Yeah, they do.
And I'm like, oh, no. They're not going to do that. They might do that to the commercial.
It's just crazy talk, though, isn't it? It's like mad people talking. That's not even.
Well, yeah. I mean, they want to get us all mRNA'd.
Yeah. Whatever that thing is, they want it through the entire world populace, don't they? I just saw an article before we came on, and it said they were going to give the COVID jabs to vulnerable babies for the first time between 6 months and 4 years old. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you give your 6-month-old that, you're as insane as they are. I'm sorry.
And the thing is, there's plenty of evidence, solid evidence, that's dangerous. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's dangerous at our age, and it's pointless as well, by the way. But 6 months to 4 year old child.
Yeah, but it's dangerous for everybody, and including the children. They don't even need it.
No.
But even so, they want to get all of us mRNA'd.
This mRNA, the push has been so hard that it's quite obviously driven by something else. We talk about parasitic entities, but for another reason. It's so blatantly obvious. We knew this in 2020 what was coming. We talked about that there was going to be some new vaccine on the radar, not knowing which one it was. But we weren't, I mean, like you, we were never going to take it. We were never going to the crossroads to make a decision.
No. And the thing is, I don't want to become a Borg. You know, I just don't want to become a Borg. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be a Borg, guys. I'm not going to be a Borg. Okay?
We fought all his life not to be a Borg. So we don't.
He does make you think that maybe that's what that thing is about, doesn't it?
I think it is. I really do.
A hive mind.
The ones who don't make it, you know, they can just die and get buried, and that'll reduce the population, and that'll make them happy. But the thing that they're doing with the so-called climate change, and they don't even know. I think they're being purposely ignorant or purposely stupid. I don't really know for sure, but they're attacking life on Earth.
Well, they will, because they're a death cult and they want us all dead.
Well, but
dead
but
or sick, or
they're attacking themselves too.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, CO2, by the way, is not a greenhouse gas. Okay. That's what we need to survive.
Essence of human beings. Yeah.
I mean, how anybody can think that CO2 is dangerous to us?
No, but it's a different kind of CO2. In fact, it's a different kind.
Oh,
of
sorry, it's a different kind of CO2.
Even though the Earth
special CO2,
carbon based.
We're being sarcastic, by the way, Sherry.
Yeah, sorry, that's English sarcasm.
That's English sarcasm, is that? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
apologies for that.
I didn't get that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's all right.
I don't get the English sarcasm.
No, Americans often don't, to be fair. We've got an American cousin. I just say sarcastic things to him and he just look at me like, what?
Yeah.
Well, because I was going to say, well, maybe you're thinking of, carbon monoxide.
No.
That'll kill you.
It's when you're saying it with a smirk on your face and you mean the opposite, basically.
Yes, you've got a glint in your eye when you, yeah.
That's the delivery of sarcasm.
I got it. Yeah.
Sorry.
We're coming up to an hour and a quarter, and I want to get in. Where can people get your brilliant book from?
Yeah, can you share your screen or no?
Just be a pod. It'll be a podcast. Will this?
We'll put it on the thumbnail, though, Chera.
Yeah, we'll put the links all on the thumbnail for the book.
Okay. Yeah. Go to jerrymarzynski.com. Click on the book tab. And there's the whole book, and there's the English version, the German version, the French version, and the Spanish version so far.
There's an American version.
With no sarcasm.
American version. Sorry.
If you guys need to work on that, you guys need to do something about that. Maybe do the translation for that.
Sorry, cheap joke.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where you can get it. It'll take you right there.
Yeah, it's I think it's available on Amazon as well, isn't it? I know you better go to Jerry's.
Yeah, but I don't really want to use Amazon, you know, if possible. I mean, a lot of people do, and I don't care about that if they want to.
But just for English people, Sherry, because you'd have to ship it from America. It'd be quite expensive, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
I would. I mean, me and Chris read a lot of books, and I don't recommend books easily, but I recommend your book because... One, I've experienced these things myself, and I know when we speak to Jerry, I think Jerry's been on 5 times now, and we're still not bored of him. We'll run him on again. Hopefully he's not bored of us either.
No, he's not.
Yeah, and but every time people email in or comment on the show that we have, saying my uncle or my brother or my sister or me or whatever, I've been going through this type of thing, or someone my brother was in an institution, drugged out of the mind, electrocuted, etc., etc. Mm-hmm. A lot of people understand and resonate with what we talk about. And
I remember one fact early on when someone emailed us and said, I think it was the first one we did with Jera, and said someone is just going through this. They were just about to go on the psycho drugs, and it stopped them. I mean, bloody hell, you know,
it's powerful. Powerful. Great.
That's
powerful, but I think if you want some evidence based information, the book sums it up. Especially because it comes from two different places. With Jerry and Sherry, Sherry can talk about her experience, her personal experiences, and Jerry can talk about his personal experience from a clinical point of view.
And then you've
together, it's quite powerful, isn't it?
And you've got those two historic accounts as well.
Yes,
the Swedenborg. Yeah. What's his name?
Swedenborg and Van Dusen.
Yeah.
I
read it like a thriller. I thought it was, to be fair. Sure. Like a thriller, you know, when it was building up and like the mention of these older guys and stuff. I'm going to read it again because it was a couple of years ago since I read it.
But I mean, the guy, the Swedenborg, 300 years ago. It's a surprise he weren't burnt at stake.
Well, I mean, he was probably acting so way out there, fighter, that they were just ignored, to be honest. He was probably just, you know.
Oh, no, he wasn't ignored. He wasn't ignored. But people paid attention to him.
Right.
But they didn't burn him at the stake because he had the other background, you know. So I guess that was one.
But probably because he was a man as well.
And the pharmaceutical mafia didn't exist then, I suppose, to the extent they do now.
Yeah.
So they were still open to options to an extent.
Yeah, quite possibly. Okay, then we will wrap it up there, if that's all right with Sherry. Have you got anything else you want to add?
No, just go to our website, jerrymarzynski.com, and look around. I mean, there's all kinds of different tabs to just check us out, see what's going on.
Yeah, there's some good information on there.
And
guys, email addresses there as well.
It's being updated all the time.
Yeah.
So I'm updating it for Jerry and myself.
You guys are out there, aren't you? You're doing. I mean, Jerry's he's all over the shop, isn't he?
He is. He really is.
I mean, he's on a proper mission. I mean, it's brilliant.
Yeah, he's on a good mission, and the more people that hear this stuff, the better it is. Mm. You know. Yeah. So I mean, because we really want to wake up a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Let them know that this is actually happening. The stuff that they're seeing is not real. I mean, the stuff that they're seeing is all, you know, propaganda and illusion that the news media
con.
Is
making. Giant con.
It's a big giant con.
Or as you keep saying, it's a lie.
It's a lie. It is a lie.
Yeah. It's a lie. And on that note, we will finish. And we'll thank everybody for tuning in. Go and buy Jerry and Sherry's book, available at jerrymarzynski.com. I'll put the links in the description in the note, show notes. But yeah, see you next time. Thanks for tuning in. Take it easy. Bye.
Thank you, guys.
Young before my life.
Take care. Bye.